2 days from now, the agreement that caps the nuclear arsenals of Russia and the United States is due to expire. The cessation of the New START Treaty marks the end of more than half a century of diplomacy between the world's two most formidable adversaries to forge, if not trust, a common framework for restraint. Nothing is set to take its place. At a time when building trust among nations has new urgency, a new bridge linking Windsor in Canada with Detroit in Michigan embodies the prosperity of shared values. Here's some proof that we take the relationship seriously and stand up when necessary in support of a project that will be mutually beneficial, a retired Canadian diplomat told our reporters. This is a triumph of common sense. It's Tuesday, February 3rd. This is the Monitor Daily Podcast. Good morning. I'm Kurt Schillinger. First, our curation of news briefs from our staff writers around the world. Many of these are developing stories. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbriefs. Costa Ricans elected Laura Fernandez, a tough-on-crime conservative, as president amid rising concern over drug-related violence linked to transnational gangs that have expanded across the region. During her campaign, she pledged to follow the example of El Salvador's Nayib Bukele, whose iron-fisted crackdown has reduced crime but also raised alarm over human rights abuses. Ms. Fernandez's party holds a majority in the country's legislature as well. The Dalai Lama won a Grammy for Best Audiobook, Narration, and Storytelling in Meditations, The Reflections of His Holiness, the Dalai Lama. On his website, the Tibetan Buddhist leader said the award is not something personal, but a recognition of our shared universal responsibility. China denounced it as a tool for political manipulation. The Dalai Lama has lived in exile since 1959. Also, a teenage boy swam more than 2 miles to save his mother and siblings off the coast of Western Australia. When the family was swept out to sea on their inflatable paddleboards and kayak, the 13-year-old swam nearly 2.5 miles to shore to alert a rescue team. Authorities described the 4 hours of swimming in choppy waters as superhuman. They also praised the mother, who kept her 2 other kids together and treaded water for hours until a volunteer marine rescue boat arrived. Now, today's Monitor stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com for our latest news. In cases that haven't gotten a national spotlight, U.S. citizens and legal residents say they've been injured by federal immigration enforcement personnel. Their lawyers say these cases are part of a rise in the use of excessive force tied to the administration's efforts to detain and deport unauthorized immigrants. Cameron Pugh reports for The Monitor. Relations between Canada and the United States have been rocky as President Donald Trump accuses America's northern neighbor of freeloading. But the new Gordie Howe International Bridge challenges that view. Sarah Miller-Yana and Cameron Pugh report from Windsor, Ontario and Detroit for The Monitor. The Make America Healthy Again movement has won some bipartisan support for trying to get processed foods out of schools, but it's also facing pushback. A look at how school children may see food and fitness change. iReporter reports for The Monitor. Cape Town's gangs are notorious, but in at least one part of the city, they face a formidable foe. The neighborhood aunties. Contributor Patricia Yon reports from Cape Town, South Africa for The Monitor. In the memoir Always Carry Salt, Samantha Ellis explores how her family's Iraqi Jewish heritage was shaped by hardship and language. She also writes about the pleasures of reclaiming her heritage through sharing meals and leaving room for joy. Aaron Douglas writes for the Monitor. Now, commentary from the Monitor's editorial board on a glint of liberation for Venezuela. It's been a month since the United States captured Venezuela's authoritarian leader, Nicolas Maduro, to put him on trial in New York. Rather than force his regime to dismantle, however, the U.S. chose to work with it, more on economic stabilization than on wholesale political transformation. Yet, while focusing on Venezuela's vast oil potential, the Trump administration has also pushed its government to take a step toward democracy. So far, about 30% of an estimated 1,000 political detainees have been released. Mr. Maduro's former deputy and current interim president, Delcy Rodriguez, announced the release, which she called an amnesty, for all those imprisoned for political activity since 1999, as well as plans to shut down a Caracas prison where political opponents have been held and reportedly tortured. The aim, Ms. Rodriguez said, is to heal the wounds left by political confrontation, to restore justice and coexistence. These are worthy goals, and if they reflect sincere intent, are ones that would be supported by most Venezuelans who also question whether the Trump administration will pressure the ruling clique for further change or mainly focus on overseeing oil production and sales that benefit the United States. We want this prisoner release to not just be a gesture and a symbol, but the start of dismantling the repressive system and of restoring the judicial system, commented Alfredo Romero, director of the human rights organization Foro Penal. Venezuela's pro-democracy opposition leaders, who mostly live in exile, are seeking the release of all political prisoners. But one concern is that the government's granting of amnesty implies that those receiving it have been guilty of unlawful acts. These people were arbitrarily imprisoned for exercising rights protected by international law, the national constitution, and Venezuelan laws, the human rights group Provea pointed out in a statement. The announcement of an amnesty should not be conceived, under any circumstances, as a pardon or act of clemency on the part of the state. Typically, political amnesties in Latin America have been granted to rebel forces to draw them into peace processes, or to military rulers as a way to ease the transition from repression to freedom. Thus, for Venezuela's political prisoners, drawing the distinction around amnesty or so-called pardons is about more than semantics. It's about underscoring the exercise of legitimate rights to speak out or call for political change, and about reminding the world that the current rulers of Venezuela lack electoral legitimacy. Opposition leader and Nobel Peace Prize laureate Maria Corina Machado said as much last week, telling reporters she would not accept power sharing with the current government. "We are willing to facilitate a genuine transition," she said, "not one where mafias remain in control. Venezuela," she said, "needs justice, truth, and freedom." The stories you just heard are from today's newsletter. Find these stories and more at csmonitor.com. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcasts. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor asks, what if we were to focus on uncovering the spiritual, God-reflecting qualities that are innate to us and others, rather than dwelling on perceived flaws? Find the full column at csmonitor.com/csperspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Alyssa Britton, Audrey Thiebert, and Mackenzie Farkas.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor in Boston, Massachusetts, USA. Copyright 2026.